Please turn to Psalm 131. As we confess our sins this morning, we will look at this psalm together. Psalm 131, it's just three verses long, but filled with much riches for us. Verse 1, it says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forever." This is God's word, amen. We all long for peace and contentment in this life. This is a very anxious, trouble-filled world that we live in because it is a fallen world. And we all face the challenge of anxiety and a lack of contentment. And this psalm is helpful to us because it describes the path to the peace that we so desire, the path to contentment that we must walk. And this psalm describes our relationship with the Lord using this analogy of a mother and a child, that we are to be like these weaned children with its mother, content with its mother. And this reminds us, of course, that God is our Father. When Jesus taught us to pray, he told us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." And so the parent-child relationship between us and God is important for us to consider. Our adoption into the family of God has so many implications for the Christian life. It is a great privilege to be a child of God. This is what 1 John 3 says when he exclaims, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." So this has implications. If we are the children of God, whether we think about God as our Father, which is what the Lord has described for us in the Lord's Prayer, whether we use this analogy of a mother and a child, this is helpful for us to understand. And the implication from this psalm of that adoption is this. Since we are God's children and God is our Father, then we must rest in God's fatherly care of us, even when we don't understand what he's doing. Just as a child must implicitly trust his or her parents to guide them in the right path, so we must do the same with our Heavenly Father. We must trust him when we don't understand what's going on. And we have been given flesh and blood families, fathers and mothers and children, to understand these things. The Lord has given us real families so that we can get a picture of what this is like. And we all understand that when children are young, they must trust their parents for a great variety of things that they just don't understand. They just don't know. And we just tell them, "You need to just trust me. I can't explain all of this to you right now, but you need to trust me." Children don't always want to trust us when we tell them that. It can be hard for them. I've been observing this recently at my daughters as we drive. They often are learning the routes that we take to common places that we go. They know which roads we go on. But if I decide to take a new route, a different direction, a cry will go up from the back of the car. "What are we doing? Where are we going?" They're questioning my wisdom at that point. They're wondering, "Why are we taking a new route, Daddy? Why are we going this different way? What is going on?" They know that this is not the normal way. But at that point, they need to trust me. They need to know that I have their best in mind. I want to skip construction or a car accident, perhaps. I want to get home faster, maybe. That they need to trust me at that point. They don't know enough about the roads. They don't know the map as I do. But they start backseat driving sometimes. We could be backseat drivers. Now, if that is true of me and my children, how much truer would it be of our Heavenly Father who is driving the universe? How prideful would it be for us to backseat drive the universe? It doesn't make any sense. That's not our role. We don't know the roads of the universe. We don't know the purposes of God, and of course, this is exactly what Job did when he was confronted with God. God gives him a litany of questions and says, do you know these 100 things? That's right, you don't. You don't understand these 100 things. Trust me. Trust in me. And that is what verse 1 describes. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. This is a confession of humility, brothers and sisters. We must confess humbly that these are two things are too profound for us. We cannot understand them. We're not meant to understand them. This is in the Father's hands, and it's not even for us to pry into. You know what it's like, I'm sure, to try to figure out God's providential hand in your life. You ask those questions. You say, Father, why has this happened? Why has this situation not resolved yet? Why am I still going through this? Why this ongoing difficulty? It isn't wrong for us to ask why. The Psalms are filled with such questions. Why, O Lord? But are we humble? Are we content with the Father's will? Are we trusting the Father to know what is best, to know the roads that we need to go down? And this is the posture of humility that David assumes. He says, I will no longer concern myself with those things. It's not for me to know. It's too profound. It is too profound for me to know all of the purposes of God in my life, all of the purposes of God in my brother or sister's life, all the purposes of God in this whole country. I can't understand these things. It is too profound. And so he says, instead of trying to understand all these things, I will quiet my soul. I will be calm. In verse 2, he says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now let's contrast the weaned child with the not weaned child. What is that child like? A child that is dependent upon its mother's milk is not easily contented. That baby wants that milk and wants it now. It is hard to content a baby that is screaming for milk until you just give the baby the milk that it desires. And this is a picture of us then, when we are discontent, when we are frustrated, when we are impatient with the Lord, and we say, give it to me now. Resolve the problem now. Help me now in the way I want. But the humble, contented soul has been calmed. The humble, content soul is weaned of that need and says, I can just rest in my mother's arms. I can rest in my Father's arms. I don't have to be discontent. I don't have to kick and scream for what I want. I can simply rest because I'm in the care of my parent. And so, are you resting in the providence of God? Are you waiting upon the Lord with contentment? Have you quieted your soul? Have you made your requests to the Father, and then just waited. Waited as a weaned child would wait for its next meal with patience. Have you acknowledged that God's ways are so far above your understanding that you cannot even begin to question what he has planned? You don't know. But you know your Father is good and that he has your best in mind. And then David concludes the psalm with this exhortation. He says, hope in the Lord, Israel. Reformation Church, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. And the reason we can hope is because he is that Father who is good. He knows what we need. We don't have to worry about all these things. We don't have to try to figure out all of these webs of his providence in our lives. We can just rest in his hand. He knows where he's going. He is the driver of the universe. We are in the back seat. And we can rest in the back seat, contented that he is at the wheel. So let us put our hope in the Lord and trust him for his direction. And so as we pray this morning, as we confess our sins, we must confess that in our pride we have occupied ourselves with things that are too great for us, too profound for us. We've tried to raise ourselves up to the level of the Father and to question his wisdom at times. So we must confess that, but we also must confess our lack of contentment, our lack of peace. And let us remember as we pray and confess these things that we come to a good, a loving, a heavenly Father. He promises to receive us through his Son Jesus. He promises to forgive us. And let us pray for that peace that is described so beautifully in the psalm. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come to you this morning through the mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, asking that you would grant us this humility, this contentment, this peace described in this psalm. Teach us, Lord, not to occupy ourselves with things that we cannot understand. Grant us peace, Lord, in the difficulties. Help us to hope in you and to remember your goodness, your wisdom, and your power. Wean us from our desire to have everything the way we want it right away. Teach us to wait upon you, O Lord. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Father.